Excited, Lon? This is your first remote VTime.
It is. I hadn't done this in never. I hadn't done VTime in a while either.
Damn, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of VTime, episode 206. Huzzah.
Huzzah.
Can you believe 200 episodes of VTime already?
200 plus. Well, I was there for the 200. It hurt.
It hurt a lot. It hurts so much.
I mean, anyway, we got specifically at the end.
Yeah. We got to actually do 8, 9, 10 hurt. Starting with 8.
Yeah,
that was the bomb.
Anyway,
we got a decent amount of cards to cover today because we have two new ride lines, two new fresh decks to cover, as well as a decent amount of news because the English conference for Bush Road happened and we got some interesting information and updates and actually rule changes on top of everything.
Hey, yes, package for Mr. Top Deck Heroes.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. Mr. Top Deck Heroes? Mr. Top Deck Heroes, package.
Man, another one? What is with this guy?
Mr. Top Deck Heroes,
again. Oh, Melody again.
Mr. Top Deck Heroes, package. Oh, God. Thank you. That was heavy. What's in that one?
Oh, training cards.
Cards. Was every one of them cards?
Yeah.
How can you afford that?
Oh, that's interesting you say that. I got it from this lightful bit.
Secret.
Man, these people are crazy.
It's no secret. 50 cards. Use code TDHEROES for a discount.
Without further ado, let's get this show on the road. Starting us off with some commons. We got to cover some commons because this time around, commons are actually looking decently decent. And the first one we're going to start with is On a Night Like This, Where the Stars Twinkle. It is a grade 2 blitz order for Lyrical. And this, you'll see a trend because we've seen a lot of these already, that go play this with Energy Blast 2. If your rear guard was put on, put other than on rear guard by your opponent's card effect this turn, choose one of your units being attacked and it gets 25k power until the end of that battle.
Hmm. Retire effects be damned.
Pretty much. So if your extra rear guard shield was put other than on rear guard, so basically if your rear guard was retired, if your rear guard was put in Guardian Circle, I think, by your opponent's card effect, will bind, yeah. And then you just got a sphere on a card. You know? Nice. It's simple. It's straightforward. It's Energy Blast 2. There's nothing too much to look into this card. But Lon, there is some stuff to look into the next card. Ain't that right?
Oh, yes. We got Sharpened Fighting Spirits. A great 2 Blitzwitter as well, right? Or
is yes, it is.
Hard to tell. It is a Blitzer. Yeah, play it with cost Energy Blast 2. Choose one of your units being attacked. Until end of that battle, it gets power 10k. Cost, discard up to two or more set orders from hand. Ooh, you always have a bunch of those. For each card discarded for this cost, draw a card, and it gets plus 5, 10 if two cards were discarded. That is pretty silly, especially if you play it in, I don't know, what comes to mind, Gravidia, if you get choked up on meteors, Orphist, true, if you have too many orders, it's be a cute like one of or two in the deck that plays it, or I would say Wellstra, but you kind of don't want them in your drop. But
no, you know, don't really.
Sometimes
don't.
It happens. Hand's not, dude, a bad place for me either. So
I really want to try out this Blitz Order and Bat and see how it works.
Oh, dude, in the Bat deck, that would be insane. Wait, he's right here.
Dude, I need to upgrade that thing. Yep. I got to make a 50 card deck out of him. I got to put more orders in. I need to figure out strategies. I need to see some of the new. That needs to be reworked.
Well,
but overall, it's really. Exactly. It's overall, it's really nice because it's exactly that. It's like, oh shit, my hand is basically dead. I have nothing but set orders and stuff like that. Let me guard, use these set orders for 5k more shield. So if I need more shield, it's more shield. And I get to draw cards back so I can get potentially draw more shield.
Yeah. Just good synergy all around.
Yes.
It helps.
One thing to note. I don't know if it was needing to be explained this way, but I will just in case. You can't discard a set order, draw a card, and then keep discarding set orders. Because it's a cost, you have to discard a certain amount of set orders. Discard up to two. Yeah.
Or more.
Discard up to two or more.
So you can ditch three or four, and if it's one, you get 5k.
I don't so, honestly, the, wait a minute. This
card. Well, the reminder text is telling you if it's two, it reads like the second version of Orphis, where it's like, if you did four, or if you did two, he gets 10. This is, or yeah, if you have
yeah, four. Yeah, but if you discard four, orders, you he gets 20.
Exactly. That's why it's just, so yeah, if you really bricked up, this can really help you unbrick. So
I just don't understand. There's one thing I don't understand about the wording. Why even say discard up to two or more? Why not just say discard a number of set orders for each set order discarded, draw a card, gain 5k shield? Because it's not preventing you from discarding. Granted, okay, I think it needs to be at least one or more, because if you just discard zero and pay the cost, that's understandable. But I mean, if you discard zero and pay the cost, nothing happens. So I just don't understand the English.
Well, it gets 10k overall, but you still have to pay a cost.
I don't know. I'm scratching my head over a comment for way too much, because now we just got to move on to the big boy. Tuesday stream happened. We finally saw our first faded one,
yeah. And
it's my boy Velstra. And oh my god, they did something with it. I don't know if it's good yet. I haven't actually built the deck yet. I need to still do that. But oh boy, does it look fun. And we start off with Blitz best programmer Strazzer. The ride lines stayed the same. They just got upgraded, or technically, if you want to use that word, promoted.
Wait, is the starter still the little guy from the other starter deck?
Yep.
Okay.
And Strazzer has a new ability that goes auto when this unit is rode upon by Blitz head researcher Uber. Soul Blast 1, search your deck for up to one product card with grade less than or equal to your opponent's Vanguard. Reveal it and put it into your hand and shuffle the deck. So he went from when rode upon, get a... No, he wasn't a when rode upon. He was a when rode upon? No, he was...
Yeah, when it was rode upon, you could search your deck for a grade 1 order, put it into order zone.
Yes.
If you put it from hand, you do it.
Correct. And he was free. Now he's a Soul Blast, which for all the Velstra support we have, Soul Blast is kind of like, ugh.
Yeah, but it is a little more flexible. It does a little bit more than the original did. The original only got a grade 1. This one can get you a grade 2 if you're going second.
Exactly. And it can get you the grade 2 that Soul charges and draws a card. So overall, just plus.
Yeah, you replace the cost and you plus a card in hand. Yeah, it's a lot better.
Well, let's drive on down to the grade 2. And what does the grade 2 do?
Let's head researcher Uber. Call your Ubers. Auto Vanguard Circle, when this unit attacks a Vanguard, cost Energy Blast 3, choose a product from your order zone and operate it. A lot of energy, but again, the rest of this reveals will help with the cost on that. When this unit is rode upon, it says ride upon, that's weird. Rode upon by a unit with Velstra in its card name with Divine Skill, if your order zone has a product, cost Soul Blast 1 and discard a card from hand. Search your deck for up to two product cards with different card names from each other and from cards in your order zone. Reveal them and put them into your hand and shuffle the deck. You may search for only two, or for only one, two. So you don't have to get two. You can get just one. But it's a little restrictive. Yeah, it's a wall of text.
I really do not see
there.
A word. I really do not see a world where you would never search to. Holy shit, this is just
good. Well, yeah, no, it's great. I like how they went out of the way. It's got to have the divine skill, so you can't run Old Wellstro with it and get this bonus, because it'd be cracked if you could. Just like making a weird version of Wellstra. Yeah. I mean, the divine skill is pretty solid, though, as we've already seen. But we'll get to that in a minute. But
oh, let's overall, just go straight into improved. It. Let's just go straight into it. Faded One of Guiding Star, Wellstra Blitzar. My boy's back. Holy shit, he's beautiful.
Yeah, no, he's looking real popping.
So we start off with a familiar first ability, but not quite. He basically combined his old two abilities into one consistent one instead of varying. Because now he says auto Vanguard. When this unit attacks a Vanguard, Energy Blast 2, choose a product from your order zone and operate it. And this unit gets power 10k until the end of that battle. So before, he gained 5k for every operate, so he could get 10, 15, whatever. And he also operated on attack. Now he still operates on attack and only gets 10k, but it makes sense why they kind of restricted him, because divine skill, act Vanguard, counterblast one, choose up to two product cards with different card names from your hand and put them into your order zone. If you put two cards, choose a product from your order zone and operate it. You can only use divine skills, thankfully, once per fight.
Yeah, because I'm assuming they're going to get cracked as we go along with this new series. And it's thank God they're a once per game skill, because holy snot. So when they say
I want to say one thing real quick, and that is the fact that I am happy what they're doing with divine skills. I'm just a little bit disappointed because the hype up for divine skills was a lot bigger. So they hyped up divine skills to be this once per fight, game flow changing ability that if you activate it at the right moment in your fight, you can turn the tables and potentially gain advantage, yada, yada, yada. So it sounded like this, I won't say game breaking skill, but at least they
come from behind.
Exactly. And that could have spelled problems. They could have really just fucked everything up if they didn't do them right. This is not what they advertised, but this is so much better.
Oh, yeah. It's because, like, honestly, though, the skill was really dependent on what products we'd get with this. And from what we've already seen, if anyone's already seen it, it's pretty good.
Hold on. Without dilly-dallying, before we get to that part, what is the new product? I want to completely elaborate on everything before I talk about anything else.
Extreme Satellite Weaponry Urayanthi. I don't know if I said that right, but
that's actually
auto,
really good.
When this card is put into your order zone, if you have a grade 3 or greater Vanguard with Wellstra in its card name, draw a card at Energy Charge 3. Important, that works with old Wellstra. That's what's important. Operate auto order zone. When this card is operated during your battle phase by the ability of a Vanguard with Wellstra in its card name with divine skill. So the rest of this part is needed with new one. So I undid what I said earlier. Other one. If this card was not put into your order zone this turn, choose one of your opponent's rear guards, retire it, choose one of your opponent's Vanguards. Until in a turn, it gets minus 10 power. And if your opponent's damage zone has four or less cards, deal one damage. I didn't know we were playing Dragon Empire. Boom! Just nuclear codes, man. Yeah, no, this is a satellite cannon from hell.
Holy fucking shit. This is so awesome. It does so much. So I don't know what the proper plays yet are. But because your ride line searches two different cards with different products with different card names, you're more likely searching this and the other grade 3 product from the that we always play. And then you're using the divine skill to put both of these into your order zone. Energy charge 3, draw a card. You don't get really a benefit from the other one, but you at least put it in the order zone so you have access to four attacks on top of that.
Yeah, so, I like they made this a little bit... Oh, sorry. Huzzah. I like they made it a little bit fair. You can't use it the turn you put it. That way, if you're ahead of, you went first, you're on grade three and they're on grade two, you're not just like ass blasting them into the sun by making their Vanguard zero.
And they made it also a pinging bit fair. Them for a fucking damage. I do like the fact that not only does it neck 10, but also ping a damage. So if your opponent's lucky, they just want to hit a trigger, but at the same time, it's like, huh, good thing that trigger didn't work.
Yeah, no, you're back to where we started. Plus. So it takes a little bit of finagling to set it up, but in the grand scheme of Wellstra, that's been the strategy all along.
And then let me just use my grade 2 Fry Heights to go operate neck 5 retire, operate neck 5 retire, multi-attack, like we always do.
Yeah, that the deck's going to be very different after this.
I can't wait to
I'm glad you're going to test it, because I would not want to embarrass it on camera at all. I would like to see what you do with it first, and then I'll do with it.
So before we move on to the utter support for Velstra, because he got a little bit more goodies on top of all that, they actually announced one more thing, and that is the fact that all the high rarities are going to get a new rarity called SR, standing for Silver Rares, but all of the community, myself included, are calling them SPs are back.
Right? Oh my god, it's like they watch our streams, I swear. I complain every time we've been doing a case opening since set 6. I miss SPs. These are one per box, like SPs used to be. So, they are not SPs, but boy howdy, I'll take it. It's as close as we can get to having SPs again. We don't know, like, are they raised texture or not, like original SPs? Even if they're
from
not, they're full arts.
We have
they look
seen
gorgeous.
On stream, you said it beautifully, they're one per box, so huzzah. But from what we have seen on stream, they look to have something similar to what holos and double rares have in foiling. So this glossy patternless foil on top of it.
So not raised texture, but it's a full art. So anything that's like, because you get an alternate of your Vanguard for the last like, 7 sets, you had to get FFR. Sometimes they were way too busy, or LSRs, which are way too expensive, and you want to get a place out of that. Now you can get silver rarities. They're going to be a little bit more affordable because they're one per box. So that means in a case, you get at least 20 of these cards. So, like,
exactly.
That's fantastic. I'm so excited for these. Not SP, but it's as close as we're going to get. It's better than frame rare, in my opinion.
So I have like two biases here. And I know you're going to have one of the biases shared with me. My first bias for this is the fact that I actually love silver out of the 3 or 4 colors the most. Gold for me is a little bit too gaudy. Bronze is not bad, but if you don't do it right, it looks like shit, literally. And then the only other color of that sort is diamond. And diamond can be done really well, but it's also very complicated because yada yada, you need to pattern yada yada. So silver out of those is always my preferred. So huzzah. And then the second bias.
Huh? No, go ahead. I just realized something, but continue your train of thought.
The second bias for this, for me, and I'm pretty sure for you as well, is the fact that these are going to make Brentgate cards look so fucking awesome.
Yeah, Brentgate has some really busy arts, and so removing the text box from them.
Oh, no. I'm not talking about that. Aesthetics.
I know, but on the silver, because that's where my aha moment, I just realized the number is silver, the top, the grade itself is silver, and the border at the bottom is like emphasized in silver. So yes, Brentgate's colors are silver. So yes, that'll make our cards look that much better and on theme. So suck it, everyone else. Brentgate is still Vanguard's favorite.
Huzzah.
Huzzah.
All right. But all that moving forward, go for it.
And my only grievance is it's Wellstra first. I wanted more waifus, but we'll see more leaks. So, yeah.
We did get one waifu. We did get one waifu for Wellstra. We got Blitz Customer Support Crude. She's a grade 1 double wear for Wellstra. that goes continuous rigor during the battle, deducing a boosted if you have a grade 3 or greater Vanguard with Velstrand's card. Oh, it doesn't even have to boost Velstra. Holy shit, that's better. During the battle, boosted if you have a grade 3 or greater Vanguard with Velstrand's card name, it gets 5k power, so you have a 13k booster. Oh yeah, this is the part that's important. Auto rearguard, when this unit boosts a grade 3 or greater Vanguard with Velstrand's card name, energy charge 1.
That's so good. It's like Boba came back. It's like Boba came back.
In a sense,
back.
It really is. But it doesn't go away into the soul.
Yeah, but I guess, okay, saying Boba Mane is a bit much because it's name restricted to Velstra. No one's going to be as good as Bulbamane. But this one's really cool looking. It has a really useful skill. Because a lot of grade ones in Velstra are like pretty, they're just resource management and they go away when they do use their resource. This one's like, I'm going to stick around as long as you let me and I'm going to give you free energy, which is going to be the new resource in the game. So anything that gives it to you is just a bonus in this game.
So I started doing some of the math already. If you go first, you gain 3 energy. You go, by the time you get to grade 3, you're at 6 energy. You place the new Blitz Order, you get 9 energy and draw a card. Almost guarantee that's going to happen. So now you have 9 energy to work with. You should be fine for the rest of the game because the only card that energy blasts in Velstra alone is Velstra himself for energy blast 2. So in hindsight, yeah, you can even go Energy Blast 7, draw a card, and then use Velstra's ability, Energy Blast 2, to just use his ability and be set to 0. And then next turn, you're going to get 3, so you minimum have enough for Velstra again. So you're fine in that aspect.
Yeah.
But if you want to play any spicy cards. Exactly. But if you want to use any spicy cards, you can put her in, and then you can play something like, not that, something like this to spice it up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Bullet of Creation, Panspermia. When this card is put in Guardian Circle from hand or discarded while from hand while riding from the ride deck, counter blast 1 or energy blast 3. Draw a card. When this unit is placed on Rearguard Circle, if you Persona Rode this turn, counter blast 1 or energy blast 3, search your deck for up to 1 grade 3 or greater unit card with a different card name from your Vanguard or up to 1 set order, reveal it, put it into your hand, and shuffle the deck. If you revealed a card, choose a card from your hand and discard it. There's a lot to be said about this card. The genericness is so that more than likely every nation is going to get one of these.
Every nation basically already has one of these. I think this and the next card we're going to cover were the last two, and we have all of them now.
Nice.
No, wait, we're missing Lyricals. Yeah, sure. We're getting Lyricals next week.
Well, but yeah, it's fantastic. Searching for set orders, because like you think in Orphis Mash, for example, if you get the grade 3 order, exactly. The worst case scenario is like, oh, I can ditch it for anything and get it back, or just hard play it from hand. If you're on Orphis Mask, like I'm gonna get Orphis from deck. I don't need to have the mask in my hand to try to hit it off the top. I have two ways to search it now. And this is during the ride phase too, so like you can get it really early and set it up.
During the ride phase you can draw, and then if you Persona Road, you can search your orders, you can fix your deck. Yeah, like it just works in every way, shape, or form.
Yeah. It's fantastic.
I know it's been a while for you. Exactly, Ava. Dude, if you Persona Ride, you can get your obscurates. Or you can get your orders that can get you your obscurates. Like, this card is just so good utility in Ava. And then any Brink Gate deck, just get your set orders. Even Velstra. You know what it can do with this in Velstra? You can...
More products. Persona Ride.
No. I mean, yes and no. Like, depending on the situation, you can Persona Ride and then get this. And then potentially get another grade 3, so you can energy charge 3, draw a card. You can get a grade 2 soul charge 1, draw a card. You can get the other product that lets you, but then you have to somehow put in the order zone, but that's a different story. The first thing that came to mind with this card is a pseudo way to deck thin and say soul charge 1, because if you use this when you Persona Ride, you can energy blast 3, get the dog set order, And then for the same effect, discard the dog set order. And then the dog set order just goes into soul.
Okay, so does the set order doesn't have to be grade 3?
No.
That's
a grade 3 or greater unit card with a different name or a set order.
Okay, no, that's even better than I thought it was. No, that's fantastic. Yeah, getting the dog, that's great. Because you discard the dog goes back, goes to order zone. So it was you decked thinned and you broke even with card
advantage. I'll be honest, more likely dog is going to soul. Dog is more than likely going to soul because Velshra needs all the soul.
Well, yeah, you have more product to work with now in your order zone than ever. So yeah, the dog's not as necessary to go there, but yes, soul is going to be more important for dog. Yeah,
I can also see this game played in Bad Bat.
In Bad Bat, yeah. Give me my orders. Not hurt.
Yeah, fucking just give me my dog so I can ditch dog so I can put it in order zone.
So it's just there for the count, yeah. That's a great triple rare. Art's fantastic too. It's gonna look really nice in triple rare.
Exactly. Moving forward, now that we got all that stuff and Tuesday stream out of the way, we gotta move forward and look at all the other stuff we got. So we got more commons again. This time around, we got Brave Bullet of Dust Storm Conrad. He's just a simple grade 2 that says auto rear guard when this unit attacks a Vanguard, cost Energy Blast 4, choose one of your opponent's rear guards and bind it. So I know this card triggered some PTSD in our group.
Yeah, the lost format's finding us.
Both first, Shane I was like, man, and energy. Who, Hector?
Yeah. I was. When I read this originally, I'm like, Energy Blast 4, oh, that is so expensive. And then I read Bind It. I'm like, oh, never mind. It's not just Retire. It's a lot. It's just a lot more than Bind. And so it warrants the cost.
Binding probably sucks more than Retire, because at least Retire, you can get your stuff back. Bind just says goodbye forever. And some decks, as a Lyrical, player, you can get it back. But still.
As a Ava player, I always... Bind scares me. It does. It scares me much. And this is only a common. I hate
to see what
triple rear does.
You know who's scared the most from Bind, and ironically is the man playing Bind?
Messiah? I don't know.
No, Alex. So Alex always played Nurakami, so he loves Bind. But after a practice game to prep for a video that we never did, he hates Bind because he played Maggie Mask versus the Gorgon. And he realized really fast, Bind sucks.
No, I was talking to him last night at Locals. I was like, I might build this. He's like, cool, if you do, let me know when you're playing it so I don't play Maggie. I'm like, I'll at least be that nice. He's like, because like, it's like, if someone just somehow played that tonight, and I'm playing because he was playing Maggie Mask last night, he's like, I'd auto scoop. Like, there's just no point in playing. It's so fucking miserable.
I take credit for his trauma.
Maybe that's why I want to build it slightly, because, boy, I play Horde Jail, so, you know, it's like, I like that control aspect secretly in Vanguard, because it feels like I'm playing other card games where I'm interacting with the opponent when it's not my turn.
Oh, yeah, you'll like it. You'll like it really a lot, because you got to be really careful how you guard, what you guard, blitz orders, all that. Anyway.
Yeah, because I read
this. Move on. Lon, we got another Energy Blast 2 card from the common slot. What is it?
Warrior's Rest has got a bunch of puppers, I think.
They're tuckered out.
Yeah. Warrior's Rest. Play with costs, Energy Blast 2. Choose two of your units and those, and they continuous Vanguard Circle, Rear Guard Circle. During the battle, this unit was boosted. This unit gets plus 10 until end of turn. If you have five or more units, draw a card. So, do I hear Bastion? You know, do I hear. Because that sounds like Bastion to me.
So, but basically, you choose two of your units, and during the battle, this unit was boosted, they gain an extra 10k power. So basically, it's incentivizing you to make columns, and then this order is going to just make them even bigger because of it. And it can also be on Vanguard, so you can make your Vanguard even bigger. Where this is actually going to see play is going to be hard to say, because it is just a normal order. You got to draw into it. A deck that does come to mind real fast is the promo Keter, because it does gain benefits if you play normal orders. However, you, like I said, you need to find this, and the hymn is actually a lot better there because it can be searched and also discard to be put back to hand. Overall, it's not a bad card because it's basically plus 20k to board.
And it replaces itself if you have a full board.
Exactly.
Five units. So not even a full board. You can be short.
Which in Keter, honestly, is not hard.
No, they're really good at... I was about to say Ezreal. I'm like, no, they have an order for their deck. They have to play every turn. So never mind, them. But Bastion and others can definitely use it a little bit.
Moving forward real quick, we are actually already at the Thursday stream, and a lot of goodies showed up here, so strap yourself in. The first thing we actually do need to talk about is our fifth cycle card in this set one, and this time it's Dragon Empires with Drag Ritter Farhat. His first ability is the same as all of them. Auto, when this card is put on Guardian Circle from hand or discarded from hand while riding from the ride deck, Canonblast 1 or Energy Blast 3, and draw a card. His second ability is the different one, and this one goes auto. When this unit is placed on rearguard, if you Persona Rogue this turn, Canonblast 1 or Energy Blast 3, choose a Grade 1 card without Sentinel from your drop and call it to back row rearguard. So free board making inside a Dragon Empire.
They sack a lot of their stuff to do stuff too. Because there's several builds that when they boosted and done their skill, they'll retire themselves as part of the cost after the battle or something. So this is a good way to keep replacing the pieces.
Exactly.
For sure.
There's not many Dragon Empire decks that are too keen on this because a lot of them are very straightforward of what they want to do. A couple to mind that immediately want to play this card is something like Zedlance. Because Zedlance has a grade one that says at the end of the battle that... retire if you haven't countercharged this turn, countercharge one by retiring it. So with this, you can energy blast three, get a booster, and then on the end of turn countercharge, which for Zedlance is very big.
Eugene has a grade one that it's a generic grade one for Dragon Empire that goes away in soul and gives 5k. But Gandiva can use it. They have grade ones that go away and countercharge, so that just recycling those pieces. Though it's going to be hard for Gandiva to have to not bind them.
Exactly. Well, but hey, if you guard
they
it with
get to
one.
Choose. Yeah, if they could choose not to bind the grade ones in the drop, makes it a little harder, but it's possible theoretically, but not overall.
So overall, its second ability is not as good as some of the other comparatively. Keter, but overall it's not bad and it can potentially see use if you build it right. We will be using it very soon because I have a deck that this actually goes into and I'm not proud of it.
Oh.
Anyway, we gotta cover a whole new ride line, a TCG original ride line. So Lon, start us off. What is this new ride line?
Direful Doll Tanya. Auto when wrote upon. Give me a second. Draw a card. You know, the good old usual. Is this what you played against John the other day with?
Yes, I did.
Or am I... He told me about that. He told me it was not fun. He made it.
It wasn't fun when the deck worked for him, and it wasn't fun for me because holy shit, I built a whole house.
He told me if you didn't brick as much as you did, things would have been a lot different. But
it's okay. This whole Direful Doll deck is actually really interesting. It follows a theme. It'll be very, very obvious what the theme is because we're going to look at the grade one for the ride line, Direful Doll Serenil. Her ability is auto when this unit is rode upon by Direful Doll Griselda. Look at the top 7 cards of your deck, choose up to 2 cards with Direful Doll in their card names from among them, put them into soul, and shuffle the deck. And an auto rearguard when this unit attacks or boosts, if you have a grade 3 or greater Vanguard with Direful Doll in its card name, you may have this unit get 5k power until the end of that battle. If you do, at the end of battle, bind this unit. You think if it was Dark Sage, it'd go to Soul, but no, these things get bound.
Well, that means they're about to be abused if they go to bind.
Oh, very much so. Before we get to the abusion, though, we got to talk about the grade two.
Direful Doll Griselda. Otto, when this unit is wrote upon by a grade 3 card with Direful Doll in its card name, call this card to Rearguard Circle. Otto, when this unit is placed on Rearguard Circle, if you have a Vanguard with Direful Doll in its card name, cost, put a card with Direful Doll in its card name from hand into solid. Draw a card. Choose one of your Vanguards and that unit gets plus 5 until end of turn. So, reduce, reuse, recycle.
That unit and this unit, both the Vanguard and this Rearguard, gain 5k power.
Yeah, that's a lot of... That's just good.
I mean, yeah, it's literally ride, make a free unit, and soul charge, and draw.
But, I know that's the only thing I've heard about this deck. That's not,
charge. You haven't heard much. Well, let me tell you everything. Your hand is not important. Your soul is. Because we have Direful Doll, Master, and Drawled. Act... Vanguard, once per turn, counterblast one. Choose up to the same number of Workeroid with Direful Doll in their card names from your soul as your opponent's Vanguard's grade and call them to Rearguard. If you called three or more cards, this unit gets power. This unit gets drive plus one until the end of turn. And then this is the fun one. Auto Vanguard, when this unit is attacked, choose up to one Workeroid with Direful Doll in its card name from your bind zone, call it to Guardian Circle, and it gets shield 5k until the end of that battle.
Whoa, what in the hero ripoff is this? It sounds like heroes with their base. They're just calling them out a base to guard. With no
almost.
Cost. That's bullshit.
Exactly. There's no cost. So I talked with one person about this. Do you by chance remember or know what Bob Sagara's shield does?
I don't. Oh wait, it gives it 10k, right?
Yes. For one battle during that turn, when the Vanguard is attacked, you can activate shield to give 10k power shield. Basically, it's a 10k. But it's only once per that battle. This thing is the same thing just for every fucking battle. So if you call a grade 1, it's a 10k shield. If you call a grade 2, it's a 10k shield. If you call a grade 3 from Bind Zone, it's a 5k shield, but still.
Well, the caveats to that is you only get the one card. You can't get multiple. Plus... We haven't seen. Is there more cards to be seen still?
Oh, yeah. So, as of right now, just from the ride line, and I'll tell you right now, the ride line is getting played at full copies in the deck because there's not enough Direful Dolls to make it better. The grade one is the only one. The grade one is the only one. The grade one is the only one we saw that goes. Good. So, no, there's a lot of Direful Dolls. There's not good effects that work with this.
It is a shame that the triple rare from set 6 is not work with this deck, because from what I've told
this deck does not soul charge, does not want to use CB.
It places to soul.
Exactly, and you're never going to, I'm going to tell you right now, you're never going to get the 10 cards in soul because you're always pulling a minimum 3 cards out of soul every turn.
It's more Pale Moon than Dark Irregular.
Exactly. And I do love the fact that it is triple drive if you call three. It's basically telling you, hey, call two cards to board. Well, three because you win first because it's the ride line. And then you don't get triple drive because your opponent's a grade two. But if you win second, yeah, go for it. Go ahead and get triple drive right away. Go for it.
Oh, yeah, no. Also, if you're going against someone who's playing grade four deck, I get four cards. Yippee!
And it's even better if you're playing against Griffergilla.
Oh, yeah.
Now, sadly, I will mention this for that specific reason. Even though they're grade 10 or grade 11, you can only call cards up to the same number of open rear guards. You can't call multiple cards to multiple rear guards. It does not work that way. So for his effect, when it says choose up to the same number of worker wards in their card names.
Oh. Hmm? It doesn't say open regard for his ability, but yes, you can't call over, over, over. It doesn't work that way. Yeah, no.
Exactly.
It has to be.
So basically, if you're playing against Griff or Gila, you choose, depending on how many rear guards you have or what you already have on board, you honestly choose five because it says up to you. If you can choose 10 rear guards from your soul, but you're only able to call five and the rest will go to drop. So you just choose five and call five and that's it.
Yeah, no. Hey, five's better than four.
And just to make it double clear, no, you do not get extra drive checks. You'll only get the one plus drive. That would be stupid. Lon, there is actually more support cards for this. He actually got three more direful laws to make him work even better.
Well, that's good to know. Direful doll, Pelagia. Auto rearguard circle at the end of the battle. This unit boosted if you have a vanguard with direful doll and its card name cost. Bind this unit. Choose up to two cards with direful doll and their card names from your drop and put them into assault. Wow, that's good. Continuous guardian circle. If you have a vanguard with direful doll and its card name, this unit gets plus five shield. Oh, geez. So it's a 15k shield with the vanguard's ability.
Exactly.
Okay. All my questions about the deck have now suddenly whooshed out the window because I was like, I've only seen one card bind so far. The rest gotta do more. That's why I asked, is there more support? And I'm sure
it gets even better.
Continue.
She's got a chainsaw. She got a chainsaw. We got a grade 3 direful doll liberata. Oh, she will definitely liberate you. Auto, when this unit is placed on rear guard or put on guardian circle, if you have a grade 3 or greater vanguard with direful doll and its card name, choose a card with direful doll and its card name from your drop and put into soul.
Oh, jeez.
More. And then auto rear guard, when this unit attacks, if you have a grade 3 or greater vanguard with direful doll and its card name, you may have this unit get 10k power until the end of that battle. If you do, at the end of that battle, bind this unit, cost Canterblast 1, draw a card.
Oh, that's the cost to do the skill, or just...
No. So you can have it gain 10k. If you did have it gain 10k, it will bind itself at the end of her battle. But when she does get bound, you can then Canterblast 1 to draw a card.
That's really good. That's only a common. That could have been a triple rare. Honestly.
That's a rare. It's a rare. There's a reason. There's a reason this is a rare, and this also helps because you can call this from bind for a 5k shield with the Vanguard's ability, and then activate her ability to put a card from drop into soul to set yourself up for next turn.
And you're right, because it's... Yeah. Wow.
And that's where it ends. We got a double rare direful doll that makes this like a nice little bow.
Direful doll, Providenza. I hope I said that. Providenza, probably better. Auto rearguard circle. When this unit attacks a grade 3 or greater unit, if you have a grade 3 or greater vanguard with direful doll in its card name, this unit gets plus 10 power until end of that battle. Auto rearguard circle. At the end of the battle, this unit attacked. If you have a grade 3 or greater vanguard with direful doll in its card name, cost energy blast 3 and bind this unit. Choose a worker roid with direful doll in its card name from this unit from your soul. Call it to rearguard circle. Ah, multi attack.
So it has to be a different card name. You can't keep spamming her, so it's not as good as heroes.
Well, even if it was spammy, energy blast 3, it's still a little much.
Exactly.
You just go like this into the grade 3. That'd be silly. The daisy chaining.
So the lines. I'll have to watch that video. The lines. You watch the video. Go all the way to game 3 because that's where it's the best showcase. Because game 1 and 2 is fucking Brick City, but still. The lines are actually to call this and call the grade 1 and boot attack. If you didn't persona right, it's a 28k column that's swinging. You activate the grade 1 first, put 2 direful dolls into your soul from drop. So you put the grade 3, another copy of it for a setup or something else that you want to prep for later. And then you bind this for energy blast 3, call the grade 3, put another card from drop into your soul. And now you have a 23k attacker ready to go. And then you're, you know, on top of your Vanguard triple driving.
It's pretty good. Because the best part about this deck, and one of the qualities I look for a deck, is when you're riding, you don't have to worry about what you're discarding. Every card's good to discard. It's like a good quality I like in a deck, and this deck's like screams that up. Just put the Direful Dolls, especially the big ones, in your drop. You can easily get those ready for great your third turn.
There is one problem with this deck that is actually really apparent in the video, and that is that if you're missing any of the three cards that we currently mentioned, the grade one that puts two from drop, the grade three, or this grade two, the deck is not as optimal as it could be. You're always that one step behind and struggling for no apparent reason. Especially if you don't see this grade 2, because then you're just a 3 attack deck and you're not doing that much.
Yeah, I mean, ways to fill that one until this gets more support, because it is a TCG exclusive, so it'll probably get more support in set 2 or the third set. Sometimes they skip
I talked with Matt about this. Guess what Direful Dolls became, at least to me?
What?
The new Diabolos, where anytime we get a new Direful Doll, I'm just hoping it fixes the deck somehow.
I mean, to be fair, it's, well, I wouldn't say it. I don't know, I feel like this has a stronger start than Diabolos, because the problem with Diabolos is just trying to breathe life into something that had like a good run. You know, it's trying to reinvent the Diabolos will, and you couldn't really do that. It did a really
The hardest
good thing
things
once.
With this deck is it doesn't have that good of an early game, because it doesn't plus that much in the early game. Once you get to your grade 3 and you start rolling, you're good, but you're really susceptible to the early game. You got to be careful with your CB. While the grade 3 can CB draw, you don't have any fucking good counterchargers to help this deck. So you got to be careful, otherwise you're just dead in the water with no CB. You can't activate the Vanguard's ability. You're just sitting there and then hoping you have the pieces in your hand. You would think Cat's a countercharger. Yeah, Cat's also a remove from game the ride line. And your ride line is either bound or still in your soul or targets that you might want to call out of your soul.
As a rank 8 player, I understand this pain.
Dude, you do not understand how many times yesterday when we recorded this video, because I was breaking and not being able to set up my soul properly, I was calling out the starter because the starter is a fucking Direful Doll.
Yes. Oof.
Also,
what you got, I guess.
Quick note, there are currently only two triggers that are Direful Dolls, a heal and a crit. And yes, you do put them in the soul. You can't put them in the soul. And yes, I have called them out of soul because fuck me.
Are they vanillas? Like, is the heal a vanilla or is it an effect heal?
We technically have a vanilla heal. The 20k, if my opponent's Vanguard's grade is higher than mine, is a Direful Doll. Yeah. So we have two heal triggers and then we have a vanilla crit.
Well, that's better than none. So you could run two vanilla, two effect. I like it that actually, effect heal more than...
It actually comes up and it actually does matter.
Yeah, there you go. Reduce, reuse, recycle.
Exactly. All right. Moving forward. That's all I got to say about the Direful Doll deck. It's big. It's fancy. It's really cool. I can't wait you guys to see it. Just go past the break games and watch game 3. That's where this deck shines.
Well, I mean... For this deck's debut, it's pretty good.
Yes.
It'll get better, I'm sure. I'm certain.
Speaking of debuts, we got a new promo card for the monthly Bushroad. When we're going to get it in English, we do not know, but we're just looking at what it does. And what it does is say, hey, you two, yes, you two Gear Dragon decks, get better. Because we have Gear Goat of Gap Leaping. It's a grade 2. And it only works for Gear Dragons, which means your Chronojet and your Time Stamper Dragon are just got a lot better, and I mean a lot. Because we have Auto Rearguard. When this unit attacks, if you have a Gear Dragon Vanguard, Soul Blast 1, and this unit gets power 5k until the end of battle, making a 15k attacker. And then Auto Rearguard. At the end of the battle that this unit attacked, if you have a Gear Dragon Vanguard, Energy Blast 3, and put this unit on the bottom of your deck... draw a card, choose up to one of your rear guards or one card from your bind zone and put it on the bottom of your deck. Fuck.
So, I can't remember. We got a grade 3 that worked with this. It was also a promo, right?
Yeah, that's Time Stamper.
Yeah, so this worked with Time Stamper.
So Time Stamper's whole shtick is when he attacks, you bind a rear guard and gain benefits depending on the grade that you bound. If your opponent's Vanguard's grade 3 or greater, you get to bind 2 and do the benefit thing twice. The problem with that deck was the fact that once you bound those cards, they stayed bound and you could never get them. So eventually you ran out of steam, you ran out of weird gas, yada yada yada. This card basically fixes that, where it says, keep your shit, recycle it, go ham. As for Chronojet, because Chronojet is a Gear Dragon, this not only draws a card for Soul Blast 1, it's a grade 2, which means you can time leap into it again and draw another card for another Soul Blast. But here's a line of play that I will give full credit to Echo for. You, let's say, swing with this booster, right? You put this on the bottom of the deck and you put something like your GG on the bottom of your deck that you use to Soul Blast and draw. And then you use upstream and now you have a target on the bottom of your deck ready to go. It just proves utility, man. This thing just gives so much fucking utility. It's bonkers.
Yeah, because I know with Jet, it really is lacking in the grade 2 department of, like, usable units, because, like, they run, like, the one still from the starter deck, or the starter deck that's like, oh, I get extra shield if you Soul Blast. Like, this is an easy replacement for that.
Yep.
So, yeah, just more recycling is what the deck needed, and unfortunately this doesn't. And it helps them use Energy Blast in some form or fashion.
And it's also 15k, and it draws. This just does everything.
Jesus, it's a lot of good stuff in the deck. Yeah.
Actually, I actually made a mistake. You don't even Soul Blast to draw a card. You just just Energy Blast to draw a card. The Soul Blast is for power, so you don't even have to. Holy shit! This thing is insane.
Your crest will give it enough power. Yeah, it's gonna be silly.
The thing's insane. It's fine. We're going to have to move forward because the last card we're going to talk about is a double rare that got leaked as for the card of the day. And it's actually for a card that we did not foresee getting support this fast. But after seeing Greedon and all that and all the other stuff get support, I'm honestly not surprised. Hon, what did we get? Or do you want to call Johnny for this one?
I'm joking. He already left for work, so I can't. Carefree After School for Lent. Auto, when this unit is placed on rearguard circle, if you have a grade 3 or greater vanguard with Kairi in its card name, until the end of turn, this unit gets boost and power plus 5. Auto, rearguard circle, at the end of your turn, cost counterblast 1 and put this unit into your soul. Draw a card. Choose one of your vanguards with Kairi in its card name. For every 2 grades of that unit, choose up to one of your rearguards and return it to hand. That's a pretty good card, if I remember the deck correctly, because it's a grade 4 deck, so... Yeah, fuck. So it does a lot. So it works early and late too. So if you're still on grade 3, it does a thing. If you're on grade 4, it does more of that thing.
So for grade 4 Kairi, this thing is actually really stupid because it gets boost in 5k. So it doesn't have to be a booster, it can be an attacker. But because it gets 5k combined with Kairi grade 4's ability, this is a 20k the second it gets placed. So it's either a 20k attacker or a 20k booster, which a 20k booster is already scary enough.
That's pretty solid. Yeah.
On top of that, I'm getting credit to Alex for this one. Counterblast 1 put this into Soul. So it builds Soul, which is honestly, that is a resource Kairi does need. Choose 2, because you're grade 4, you're going to choose 2 of your rear guards, bounce them to hand. There's a rear guard that really works well with the grade 4 Kairi, and it's the set 13, or technically, it was set 13 for all the other nations. It was the special series festival collection for Lyrical. It's the dragon that works off if you have a grade 4 in your hand or your grade 4 Vanguard. Lyrical's is counterblast 1, draw a card, gains plus 5 or 10k power, so it's a beat stick, but the point is it draws a card. But more to the matter is, you call that card, you draw a card, you use this in the end of turn, you bounce that card to your hand, now you have a 15k shield back in your hand.
Now, decks that can learn how to do the three R's, reduce, reuse, and recycle, can like really just go so far. And this is just a good example of just using your board to the maximum. You're not retiring this bitch. She's going away and calling more of her friends out. So suck my butt. Swing.
Well, not even calling more of her friends out. Bouncing more of her friends back to hand.
Correct, but like, that's what the deck wants to do, to bounce and reset and all that jazz.
Oh,
but
you
want to
retire my board? Battle, like, you want to retire my board? It would be a shame if three of my rear guards just went away.
Yeah. So, yeah. No, that's really solid.
So, one problem with Kairi deck right now is the fact that it needs some form of countercharge. Because it goes through its CB really fast now with this inclusion if you really want to maximize on it. So one form of countercharge, some way, shape, or form. It does. Yeah. Even more of a kicker. This is a plus three on a stick. This is a soul charge plus three for one CB.
From the top to the bottom of this card, it's good.
Holy it's shit. Oh. I'm looking forward to testing Kairi. Yeah. This is going to be a little bit of bullshit. But with this
Kairi
card,
fans, eat your heart
red,
out.
We actually get to move on to the news section. So we got a decent amount of news, and we've already been going for almost an hour, so we're going to make this decently quick. First, a bit of news we're going to start off with is the fact that next to the announcements of Velstra and all that, they actually did give us a schedule of cards that we're going to see in the future. And as you can see from the graphic on screen, we're getting another Blitz support card for Velstra. This is confirmed to be a Blitz card. This is confirmed to be a Velstra support card, if I'm not mistaken. And I can't wait to see what it does, because that just means Velstra's getting even better.
It's got more waifus. You know, you can't have too many waifus in your deck, especially in Brickgate.
Exactly. So that card is coming out. So that card is coming out February 5th. We are getting apparently two cards on January 31st. One looks to be a Desire Devil common, while the other is a double rare gray 3 for Stoikeia. And the rumors are going around, if I remember correctly, that this... I don't exactly know what this is, because Stoikeia is in a weird spot. It's... its Faded One is coming out in set 2. We're getting, which I forgot to mention, and I'll mention that right now, we're getting a Stoikeia only TCG ride line, just like Direful Dolls, on Tuesday. So, you know, that's not the 31st, so it's not that, this is not that card. So this might be support for that card. This could also potentially, and more than likely, is the support card for the start deck for Stoikeia. So there's a lot of speculation what this could be.
I hope it's for the start deck, because the start deck looks like it's just missing a little something to be that like much more better than this. Like, because
exactly,
people definitely slept on. They definitely slept on it. That grade 3 for Dark States, man. I don't know about you, but that sure as hell looks like a Desire Devil.
Oh, it is. It is confirmed to be a Desire Devil.
Oh, okay. It does show its name. I forget that. They show the name.
And then the last card we're going to see on February 6th is a Lyrical Normal Order. More likely the Energy Blast 2 variant, because it is a common and I can see the green of the Energy Blast 2. What Energy Blast 2 is it going to do? We do not know. We'll wait and see. I do like the... I'm looking at the Velstra Triple Order one more time. I see a continuous rear guard ability, and I see an auto rear guard ability, and I can't wait to see what they do.
Now, I'm hoping greatness from this card, because I like having triple rare waifus that have sustainability. They don't just kind of come in and out of the deck because something else came out better.
As for the next Thursday stream, boy, howdy, Lon, you actually teed it up really nicely. They're going to be revealing 6 cards from Booster Set 1, including 5 double rares and 1 common that strengthens the quick start decks.
Thank God. They need it. they need help.
So I am putting this speculation out there right now. Because we're getting five double rares and a common that strengthens this. And I think this whole thing, it's not the common strengthens this quick start decks. I think it's five double rares and a common, and all of them strengthen the start decks. I think that this double rare that we covered a little while ago that's dropping on January 31st is the Stoikeia double rare common that strengthens the start deck. And the other five we're going to see sooner. So we're not going to see Stoikeia strengthening. I do not know. It's all up in the air. We do have, and I will zoom it in, this Keter-looking majestic fucking beast. I'm pretty sure that is a double rare for the Keter deck.
Holy balls.
Right?
That's a boss unit and a half right there.
I'm pretty sure that is going to be the double rare. And it's called the Viral Core Dragon. So, a lot of goodies to look forward to. Moving forward, moving forward, moving forward. There actually has been a lot of news and a lot of fighter rules and actual rule updates. For the fighter rules, this is a little bit on the sour note because it's like, why are we enforcing this? It makes no sense. But information about the object that a fighter cannot use to keep track of the energy counter. And it, so an exclusively large item cannot be used. So over 2.5 centimeters in diameter. An unstable item that can easily fall over or roll, including a die or similar. A coin,
so like not
banknote, electronic device, and others which are already listed as prohibited in the official floor rules. So the biggest part here that is important to us, apparently you can't use dice as a token. So
do they mean like 20-sided rolling dice, or do they also mean like regular 6-sided dice that's a cube? You know, things that are known for not rolling well.
Unfortunately, it is meant to be die, as in any and all things that are considered to be dice. Ugh. Yeah. The bright side is, because we know we've seen these star decks already drop in Japan, we are getting the cardboard cutouts with circular indicators like 10k heal trigger, over trigger, crit trigger, all that. And one of them, as the picture shows, is going to be this energy token, which you could use to keep track of your energy. So they're giving you a legal option. I honestly still find it stupid that a small dice like this cannot be used.
That's, you know, six-sided, known for not rolling well.
It is what it is. It's their rules. We got to respect them. So we're going to move forward and actually talk about something exciting. Booster set two in Japan will be dropping April 5th. We'll be introducing the Fata ones for Dark States and Stoikeia. But it's not only going to be introducing the Fata ones for Dark States and Stoikeia. Oh boy, they dropped the bombshell. They actually announced all the product's information. So this is the Japanese picture, anybody who can read it, huzzah, but anybody who can't read it, here's some of the translations, what it says. First off, apparently, there will be, I would say 18 triple rares, 24 double rares, 24 rares, and 56 commons. I'm trying to scroll for the actual English information, just one sec. Most of the other stuff is normal as always. The energy counter will not be included. It'll still be only in the start decks as before. There's 122 cards plus parallels, yada, yada, yada. Here's the kicker that they did announce. Six new ride lines in this product.
Oh, well, damn.
So next to the two faded ones, four more, which means we're getting a new ride line for Dragon Empire, a new ride line for Keter, a new ride line for Braingate, and a new ride line for Lyrical. Even the kitty's excited.
He is, see. I think
nice.
There he goes.
So, Alon, what's your opinion on six new ride lines?
I mean, I'm excited as a Brand Gate player because I don't mind having another deck. Because, like, I personally, Wellstra is not my favorite because its playstyle is very, really technical. It's like how some people feel about Zorga. You got to play several turns ahead. And so Wellstra is like the equivalent to that, in my opinion, in Brent Gate. And so it makes my head hurt. I'm a Timmy player, so I like some stuff that are more, a little bit more like just breathable and just, I can screw up and there's margins for error versus with Wellstra, you cannot fuck up. You need to like play well for it to be the most effective engine. So having other options, because as much as I love the start deck, it's a one trick pony and it's not meant to last, you know. It gets support and then that's it. So I want more waifus in Brent Gate. There can't be enough. So hopefully the new ride line will be some waifu or some really cool, like, big old monster thing, you know, some like big old cyber dragon or something. I don't know. Well, it'll be something cool.
Well, we're getting really close to the finishing set one, actually. We're missing three more of the faded ones. We're missing a couple more of the triple rares and stuff, but we're slowly getting to see everything. So within, I want to say, the next 3 weeks, because I do believe set one drops in Japan on February 9th. Now 8th? One of the two. It drops very soon, so we're going to start seeing leaks for set two decently soon, and we'll get all the answers then. One thing that is confirmed, however, to be in set two is the new ride line and new boss unit from the new Sky Drive, or I think it's called Sky Drive manga.
So not 5D's manga?
Pretty much.
I think it's funny. Some people are like, oh, you get something original, Bushi. I'm like, oh, come on. The best, imitation's the best form of flattery, something like that. That's how it goes.
So just like Silhouetta, just like Luon, and just like Mythyarg that came from Youthquake, we're getting our Sky Rides, and we're getting the main boss unit from Sky Ride, Shooting Star Verdura.
I think it'll be interesting. Did they say what nation it is?
It's a Keter.
Or is that not? It's Keter. It looks like a Keter. I think Keter deserves it.
Yeah. One they don't get enough more thing for set two, and that is the fact that, yes, it is confirmed. Whoa. We are getting also silver rares inside of set two. And with this picture, it looks fucking phenomenal. But now you can even more see, with the silver, Brent Gate is going to look so fucking beautiful.
really good stuff.
Still excited for this one. Can't wait for my new Dark States deck. Speaking of, we got to go back a little bit and talk about the new fighter rules. I'm going to pull this up because it's a decent amount of changes. Not too many to where it's not worth covering, but enough to where it is important. So, of course, the ride deck. It is mandatory to include a ride deck crest in the ride deck during building. So the current energy generator, giving a total of 55 cards for an official deck. So this legitimately means if you enter a tournament and you do not own an energy generator and it is not in your deck, you are playing with an illegal deck.
Yippee, fun stuff.
So generators are not an optional mechanic in your decks. They are a mandatory mechanic in every deck.
To be fair, who wasn't going to run it? Because even if the rest of your deck doesn't use Energy Blast, you can still Energy Blast 7 to draw a card.
Very valid.
There's no reason not to run it. So if people are butthurt about it, I get it. It's annoying that you only can get them in the structure decks, but, you know, they got to sell the structure decks somehow. Because they know the decks themselves won't last, but you need the content in the box.
Correct.
Hopefully, in the future, kind of like with in V format, we get, like, special shiny versions of the crest. Because we got those for, like, the Force 2 and stuff like
that. Hey, Elementaria is also a good example, getting a full art and other... So...
Yeah, at least this isn't as restrictive as that.
The other 2 points, Lon, this might not be as interesting to you, but for premium, your G deck, this is a new rule that was added. While it is not mandatory to give the information at will, if the opponent asks, the other fighter must correctly answer on whether they have a G deck, including the number of cards. So in premium, if your opponent asks you if you have a G deck and how many cards are in your G deck, you have to answer truthfully. This rule, I think, was implemented because with the inclusion of everything in Vanguard, from tokens to markers to G-Zone to Ride Deck, or no, it's actually Ride Deck's not in G, ignore that last part. Basically, your extra zone is becoming giant with so many different cards that it can really look weird and your opponent cannot distinguish what's a token, what's a G-Guard, what's this, what's that.
I can understand that. That's kind of a fair rule, honestly.
All right. Going back to energy rules. Here we got three new points, and I'm going to decently speed through these. The ability to have energy, as well as energy charge and energy blast, are only available when the master has energy generator in their crit zone. Since this card, this is the card that allows this ability continuous, you may have up to 10 energy. When using energy cards, the master should place them on top of the energy generator as visible pile or row, and thus they must turn them face down and face up accordingly. Energy cards with different illustrations can be used in any combination as normal since the name is the same. It's also mandatory to have prepared 10 energy cards. So that is if you want to track your energy through energy cards, which do exist.
Oh, like a token, essentially, that represents it.
Oh, there is actually a physical card that we're going to be getting that literally says that energy.
It's the big old crystal on it.
Yes.
The rainbow crystal on
it. I think there was a picture of it before. Yeah, there we go, that.
Okay, so you could track it with that instead of dragging a marker across the 0 to 10.
Yeah, but it's going to be even... I honestly believe, personally, it's going to be even more clunky having just 10 cards in the top left of
your deck box.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd be... it's weird, like... I would almost prefer the energy tokens, but because I play Brantgate, because my order zone's already going
to
be full.
So long, so this like is a like... very good way to explain it to you because you play different card games. Imagine having 10 mana in the top left corner of your mat at all times.
That'd be annoying. Oh, yeah, because you said you have to flip them over every time you use them. Did it say it had to be in the play area?
It just needs... I don't think it has to be in the play area, but it does need to be visible. But technically now there is a crest area, so it needs to be next to the crest, so... Eh.
These play mats aren't big enough. We need more room. There's already not enough room.
All right, last rule change. When using the energy counter, the master should place it near energy generator, and they must use a small item to place it on the same number slot as the energy they have accordingly, usually starting at 0. And then we already know what the items are allowed and are not allowed to be. So you can't have your energy crest on the left side of me and then your energy generator all the way on the fucking other side of the planet.
Yeah, it's hard for the opponent to track what you're tracking.
Exactly.
And that's an easy way to get confused. There needs to be more room on the playmat. That's all I said.
I mean, or damage zone.
Maybe they...
Order zone.
Or they start...
Crest zone.
Because like...
bind zone.
Like,
deck.
Example.
Drop zone.
They make nice mats. Don't let me get that mistaken. But do you see a single marker on this mat that indicates any form of zone?
Not one bit.
It used to be simple of deck, drop, and damage zone.
And that field.
Was pretty easy to track. And your field was like, it's in the center, so it's easy to track. Now you got the order zone, and now it's order and crest zone, and now you technically have to have a ride zone, but once you go through all three, you can just scoot your deck up a little
higher. And don't forget, you actually have a trigger zone, technically.
Trigger zone and bind zone. It's starting to get a little full. It's starting to look like this complicated.
Not to mention, you also had to have
TCGs.
You also have a G zone.
Yeah. I mean, if you have a G zone, you don't have a ride zone, so.
No, you do.
Don't you know? Yeah, no, you do. Sorry, stride decks. I forget. Those are a thing. Oh, geez. Yeah, it gets even more complicated. And if you play decks with tokens, you got to have those somewhere off the mat. And the crest with those, too. If you play Dragon Tree in any form.
And if you're playing a deck to play set orders, it's like, have more space.
Yeah, no, it's I'm a Brentgate, so I know this firsthand. It sucks, especially playing like Orphus. I got like a million one orders. I do retire them, but I have to keep track of my stinking energy too. That's why I like the way we did it. We made it like a little...
Like a booklet.
Passport.
Like a booklet.
Yeah, a little booklet. You can... You hit a little booklet. Yeah, sorry. Here's my credentials right here. It's more like a punch card, you know, just punch your ticket.
I'm honestly thinking about making an actual thing that can also flip over and has like a metal card in it so that the token slider thing is like a magnet that you can just pop on and slide, slide, slide.
Dude, that'd be cool to get 3D printed. You put the energy generator in the top and then the tracker in the bottom part. So you just whoop and you can lay it down wide open on your play area.
Exactly.
That way your cards don't bump and override it. You can just keep it all on one spot.
Exactly. All right.
I don't know.
Moving forward, we got to talk about the English conference. So a couple of things happen in the English conference. First of all, the special series tournaments, or the shop tournaments, I'm pretty sure, or this is, I think this is Vanguard Day. I don't remember correctly all the correct information. If you want to see the actual video where Bushy Mats did an amazing job, there will be a link in the description. So go watch that video if you haven't yet. But this just recaps. So special series tournament, we are going to have entry promos. Oh yeah, this is basically the tournaments. Now remember, these are the tournaments where only set one and the trial decks and anything above will be legal. So for those tournaments, participants will be getting the vanilla triggers, and then top 8 and champion will be getting the full art SB versions of a heal trigger or a crit trigger.
So you're talking about set one of the divine?
Correct. So think of it instead of standard format, DZ format. So anything that's DZ legal.
That scares me.
It's only for the start. It's not actually a new format. It's only to start.
It still scares me. I'm getting PTSD here. I'm scared that they might do something stupid like that again.
No.
Please don't. It's fine. I hope this is just a one and done, like, fun thing. Like, this is just a cutesy to get everyone on the same power level.
No.
And I'm okay with that, too.
It's meant to introduce all the new cards and just play with the new cards and get a hang of DZ. But standard format, stay with standard format with overdress and DZ. This is just for the launch of the new series.
This will also help new players get into the game.
Correct.
So I'm okay with that.
Speaking of new players, Vanguard Day 2024 has announced that it'll be having an exclusive day playmat, which honestly doesn't look too bad. More information about Vanguard Day will be coming later down the road, but it basically is, as the word says, Vanguard Day, what exactly it, like, it explains it, and it doesn't explain what it's going to be at the same time, which we just need to wait for more information.
First rule of Vanguard Day. Don't talk about Vanguard Day.
Well, I know something that we need to talk about, and I don't remember if you are. There are a lot of fans in this community. I don't know if you're one of them. Car 5 Vanguard New Year Lunar promo card is going to be for monthly shop tournaments. So participate in shop tournaments during the month of February to get this special promo card featuring Tomari.
Oh, that's cool. For no particular reason.
What, you're not a Tomari fan?
I didn't say I wasn't. Philip, you want to tell me what my flagship deck is?
Jail.
Yeah, so you want to answer your own question there, bud?
So this Lunar New Year card is being made because we're going into the Year of the Dragon. They picked Tomari as the representative. She's holding a Dragon Empire Lantern, which is cool. Overall, it's just...
Why didn't they pick a guy play as Dragon Empire? But, you know, waifus.
Honestly, they could have picked the new female Dragon Empire character from DZ. But I don't know. Look, man, Tomari is actually a really good pick. A lot of people are happy, especially Different Fight.
So, I'm not complaining. I just feel like it's Year of the Dragon. They could have just hit it a little more on the nose, you know?
Exactly. All right, moving forward, we got to talk about Bushiroad Spring Fest. So a lot of things announced for Bushiroad Spring Fest. One of the things were also shop challenges and the shop challenge participation promos. Now, the graphic is a little bit mixed up.
One thing is swapped around.
No, three things.
Everything else is...
Three things. So Geomaglass, the stride needs to be in premium. the Genesis card, or technically the Keter card, it needs to be in standard, and the Dimension Police Grade 3 needs to be in V Premium. So the graphic is swapped over. If I find the correct graphic, which I think Fuzzy edited, I'll put that instead. But basically, these are some amazing Shop Challenge participation promos. The Genesis cards are a lot sought after for Minerva. Geoma Glass is just an amazing Deep Police card. For Premium, I do not know how good this is. So let me know in the comments, because I think this card is really good for Gallup and just makes them better. As for Weiss and Shadowverse, the Weiss card is the Guilty Gear card, which cool. I don't know exactly what it does. For Shadowverse, we got a Abysscraft 2-cost, 2-3 ward. Act, give your leader -2 health. Give this follower Bane. This ability may be, I can't read that far, can be,
you can only do it
activated once per turn, and then last word, give your leader +2.
So it forces a trade-off if your opponent wants to punch you, and he'll gain your life back, he paid. He's just a little guy.
I mean, it's nice to have more ward, it's nice to have low ward, and it's also nice to have a low-cost something that activates a sale. So overall, this is not a bad card, not to mention, the second it dies, you get that 2 back. So it's overall.
This is good. Really good for. That's good for those kinds of builds in Abysscraft right now, because that form of support where you hurt yourself doesn't have easy activation for it.
Yeah.
This one's like guaranteed. If it sticks around, you can keep doing it again.
Yep.
For the next turn. So yeah, that's overall good.
All right. Moving forward, we do have to talk about Bushiroad's Springfest participation and championship promos. The participation promos on screen are fucking amazing. We're not only getting an alternate art for Trickstar, we're getting Swirler again, so I think we got more than enough reprints of Swirler now. We're getting a versatile, I forgot, the Brain Gave one. Jesus fucking Christ, I forgot what his actual name is.
He
gains boost and can find you orders. That's the important part.
Yeah.
But we got also Cute Tire Angel, which is a cycle card for Keter and is honestly really hard to get. Mythiarch Habitat for all you guys that didn't get it in time and the prices jumped way too high. Yukiya, or however her name is, I keep messing up, which is honestly a sought after card for every Lyrical deck. And then Dismal. Yeah, of course, they had to print that Keter card, that Royal Paladin card. Holy shit, that stride.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good.
That stride copies the Heart's ability. So you basically have your Heart's ability, and on top of that, a fucking Baldora with 3 cards.
I don't know why they printed the Brent Gate card. No one was really asking for it. But.
Don't ask me, man. It was that or more Boba Mage.
I don't know, man. I would have picked something better than that guy, but oh well.
As for the championship, standard format championship promos will be the red OT, while the tri-team format championship promos are going to be the blue OT. Huzzah. Cool. We also have dates. Nice. So for the U.S., we have 9 locations. They're on screen, and for audio listeners, I'm going to go through them real quick. March 2nd and 3rd, we're going to be in Ontario, California. March 16th and 17th, Houston, Texas. March 30th and 31st, Toronto, Canada. April 6th and 7th, Puerto Rico. April 13th and 14th, Mexico. April 27th and 28th, Vancouver, Canada. May 11th and 12th, we're going to Dula, GA. You're going to see us there. May 25th and 26th, White Plains, New York. You might see me there.
I don't know if I want to go to New York right after the other one.
Exactly. Yep. And then the last one for America is June 1st and 2nd, Rosemont, Illinois. Huzzah. So, yeah.
USA.
We're definitely going to Dula. I will be making the airplane trip and joining you guys again. So, huzzah. We need to make teams.
Yeah, baby.
You and me are definitely on a team because you and me are the only ones in our group that actually went to Worlds.
Yeah, humble brag. I don't know. Definitely can't make that happen twice.
And then we just got to pick our third. As for Europe, they technically did announce also locations for Asia, Oceania. However, most of those locations are still to be decided. on the dates. So I'll leave that for that. And unfortunately, I will be biased because America and Europe are the only ones who will be participating potentially in. When I say Europe, I mean myself. As for Europe, we got March 9th and 10th, UK. Yes, you will be seeing me there. April 6th and 7th, Spain. No. May 4th and 5th, we got Bulgaria. May 25th and 26th, we got Belgium this time instead of the Netherlands. June 7th and 8th, we got Germany. And still to be added, we have France. For me, what locations I'm almost guaranteed to go? Well, you're going to see me definitely in the UK. And you're going to see me in Germany. As for the other ones, if the dice fall, because I will be somewhere else in May. Especially if I decide to go to New York, I am definitely going to be somewhere else in May.
And that might make Germany harder, depending.
Nah. Germany is definitely happening. The good part about Germany is I think it's already confirmed to be Munich. And Munich is only a four-hour drive away from where I'm at.
Oh, in that case, yeah. Go
for it. Exactly. All right. The last bit of news regarding SpringFest. Because these SpringFests have changed the format. There's no longer standard teams, V premium teams, and premium teams. They change it to standard teams and tri format, which is basically one person plays standard, one person plays V premium, and one person plays premium. As such, they need to introduce some rules. All three players must be playing a different Rideline, clan, title, or class, because this is also encompassing both Shadowverse and Weisschwartz from their teams. So, example, Brink, Gates, Toykea, and Lyra Commissaire are okay. Keter, Dragon Empire, Keter are not okay. Attack on Titan, Persona 5, Bang Dream are okay. Attack on Titan, Bang Dream are not okay. And then for Shadow Wars, Forestcraft, Runecraft, Nuggle, Forestcraft, Runecraft, Swordcraft, okay. So it basically forces you to play different nations.
Hey, buddy, got a question for you.
Yes.
Will this also be the same rule for when we go to Duluth? Because I think in Shadowverse they just announced there's no longer you have to get the shop invite. You can just go now.
So for Shadowverse information, I honestly don't have all the information. I think that's correct, but I'm not 100% sure, because this is a team format. It'd be very stupid for them to do shop challenges with single people need to get invites, and yeah, then those single people need to find teams.
Yeah, that'd be really hard. It'd be like, oh, it's five teams playing this entire regional, because it's how few people go.
Yeah.
If Shadowverse happens.
Exactly. Continuing on, for tri-regional team tournament, player must play a different Card 5 Anger format from their teammates in the following order: V-Premium, Standard, Premium. Oh, so V premium is A, standard is a mill. Cool. All three players of a team will be play 1v1 matches against the other three players of the opposing team simultaneously. The team with the more match wins across it plays wins, yada, yada, yada. Basically, this makes sense concept of you're playing three different formats, but you're still a team. So as long as two of you win, your team wins.
Oh, that last one bites.
Yeah. If both teams have the same number of match wins due to time up, both teams lose.
A double loss. Oh, that's brutal.
Luckily, because there is three people, as long as there's not a double loss or goes to time with one of the tables and the other two are not 1-1, that won't happen as often. However, I do want to talk about and finish this video up on this note. What's your opinion on the fact that standard format teams has now been devolved to different nations? They're not no longer going on different ride lines and all that. No, there's just completely different nations.
I think that's healthy, because some nations seem to get more love than others in standard from time to time. It depends on like what set got released or something. Because like, I can't name one off the top of my head, but like, for example, Lyrical just got a crap ton of support with their new set that just came out. All three members could be playing different Lyrical decks with different ride lines, but they're all different. So this is to help prevent the stupidity of something like that.
And
this is forces people to think outside the box.
So I will blame some of us as players for this, because this was a problem a little bit. they previously designated that your main vanguard has to be different than your teammates, but then also that made it to where people are abusing that rule and running a different ride line, but then running the same vanguard in the deck and just riding into it normally. And then basically the team was playing the same decks. And then they eroded that rule where they, if you're running a specific ride line, your opponent cannot have that great, or your teammate cannot have that grade 3 at all in their deck. But then that caused different problems. Like, instead of putting so many rules, they basically just said, just do nations. There's no way you can fuck up nations. There's no way you can exploit nations. Yeah. Just do nations.
I think it's fair. It's unfortunate that we have some.
I need to check.
Weaseling.
I need to check the comprehensive rules one more time. There's only one thing that could happen. It's not good from a competitive aspect, but it can happen. Technically, if any rule changes were made, or new rules or these rules, or basically if it's not specified completely, you can technically, because it is three different nations, have three Gryphogila decks.
Okay, technically yes, but are they gonna do good?
From a competitive standpoint, fuck no. But you technically could.
You know, power to the team that chooses to go Team Gryphogila.
That is to say, that is to say, if the old rules of you and your teammate cannot have the same ride line are still in play, because if those rules are still in play, then that completely falls flat. But if those rules are
out. Then yeah, anything can happen, but probably, I mean, worst case scenario, oh no, Dragon Trees can show up as a full team, so, but oh no, you're gonna beat them.
I actually do want, this is gonna be a little bit longer V time because there was a lot of news, and I do have two more things I do want to talk about. One is the unfortunate news for us: when we do go to Dula, only the start decks will be legal. Booster set one of Divine Z will not be legal.
Wait, what? For teams?
Yes.
Oh, that's that event?
The week before Dula is the set release. So I'll be there for the case opening, huzzah. However, because it is only a week away, it's not 2 weeks, therefore it's not legal for Dula.
So it's still everything that's already been released in standard.
And technically the start decks. You can play the start decks.
Maybe some of the vanilla stuff that uses Energy Blast, but otherwise that's vanilla, not name restricted vanilla.
Yeah.
I don't see anyone doing it otherwise.
Because the whole start deck, other than the PGs and the Vanguard, is full vanilla, so you literally get no benefit from it.
It's funny, it's going to be just like last Duelith, but now you have set 13 and the Lyrical set legal.
Exactly. Which honestly could be very interesting. New York will be legal, so if I go to New York, I know what I'm playing. Velstra, my boy, is taking me to New York. All right.
There you go.
Last thing I want to end. You got first place in Dula. We're recording this before the trip. You and me are going to Japan. You're going to participate. I'm going to do stuff. You excited?
Yes, I'm excited for the trip. I still need to talk with you and prep a little more. I'm pretty sure I know what deck I'm taking.
Mm-hmm.
I've been practicing it the last couple of weeks. It's given me the least grief out of all my decks. So
good to know.
I don't want to say it. I don't want people
plotting
against me.
Keep a secret.
Shh. It's pretty obvious, but shh.
Keep a secret.
Keep it secret. Keep it safe. But yeah, I'm happy the deck is as good as it's going to get for me. I've been thinking of potential techs for it, but otherwise I think as is, it's pretty solid. I'll have to test it a bit more. And you're going to help me with that process.
But exactly.
We'll get there when we get there. January 31st is going to be a very busy day for one.
I'll prep you for the flight. I'll prep you for the flight. Don't you worry, buddy.
Yeah, you'll have to help me also get what I need to take with me to Japan not be completely lost. But yeah.
So, with all that being said, we're finally going to end this episode here at the 1 hour and 30 mark. Huzzah. If you like the episode,
done without you.
Please like, share with your friends. Comment down below what you think about DZ, Worlds, Japan, BCF, anything we talked about. But if you like what we do here, subscribe to our channel, ring that bell to get notified, maybe become a member for some awesome perks. But with all that being said, I've been Philip.
I've been Long.
And we'll see you guys in the next one.
Bye-bye.
Holy shit, an hour and a half. Granted, we did talk a lot about a lot of stuff, but still.
Do I just stop recording on this?
You should be able to just stop recording on this, yes.